Okay, Shalom, good vach ravasa, good chodesh. Today's daf is Pesachim daf nun vav. We're here on the bottom of nun hem beis with a mishnah that is not so relevant to what we've been discussing. The only relevant thing is actually the first example that we're going to give in the mishnah. Basically, this mishnah says that there were six things that the people who lived in Yericho did, and the chachamim were not so happy with on various levels of unhappiness. And the first example is going to be some malacha on Erev Pesach, right? That's what we've been talking about for a little bit. So that's the relevance to why it's placed here. But basically, today's entire daf was almost entirely is going to talk about these items. So either way, let's do it. The mission says, Shisha Dvarim Asu Anshei Yericho Al Shlosha Michu Biyodam Val Shlosha Lo Michu Biyodam. There are six things that the Anshei Yericho did, and on three of them, the Chachamim protested, and three of them they did not. Now we're going to see in a second, the Gemara is going to quote a brisa about six things that Chizkiyahu did, and the language there is Al Shlosha Hodulo Val Shlosha Lo Hodulo. There, the Chachamim, the options were either they agreed or they didn't agree. And so it implies that here, in the Mishnah, they weren't happy with these things, but by three, they didn't say anything, and by three, they did protest. But either way, let's list them off. So, Ve'elu hin shalom b'chu b'yadam, these are the ones that the Chachamim didn't, take out of their hands or protest the actions of Anshei Yericho. Markivin d'kol kolayom, they would graft palm trees all day, and when it says all day, it's referring to Erev Pesach. That's a malacha, right? We said malacha, at least in the places where I have a minhag to do malacha. Malacha is only mutar in tuchatzos. Number two, they would koruchin es hashma. We'll have to explain what that means. A kricha in normal, Israeli Hebrew is a sandwich. But does that mean they would wrap or combine the shma? What does that mean? We'll have to see what that means. The kochin v'gochin v'fnei ha'omer, and they would also reap and they would pile up the grain before the korban omer. We know you're not allowed to eat the new grain, right? We mentioned a couple times already in the Masechta. You're not allowed to eat new grain until the korban omer is brought on the second day of Pesach. But what about reaping and what about piling? So apparently they did those things, and the Chachamim weren't so happy with it, but they didn't protest and actively. Ve'elu shemichu biyadam, and these are the ones the Chachamim really went out and got them for. Matirim gamzil shel hekdesh, they allowed branches of hekdesh, a tree, mistama, belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, belonged to hekdesh, and they still benefited from the branches. Okay, we'll see exactly what that machlokas was. They would eat fruit that fell from a palm tree, meaning dates that fell from a palm tree. And we'll see exactly right what the issue was. Right? Maybe there's Xeria and Paris Shanoshrin, etc. Okay, we'll see what's going on. And they would also take peah from vegetables. We know peah is a mitzvah that the farmers would leave in their fields, the wheat, the barley, etc. And they would leave the corners of the fields for poor people. So the people in Yericho, they did this with vegetables, which is not chayv and peah. Doesn't that seem to be a nice thing? Why umichu biyadam chachamim? Why wouldn't the chachamim let them do this? Excuse me. So I'm not sure if we'll get to it today, but just to explain at least one of them. So vegetable, if you peah is not chayv and chumas and maestros. I mean, we don't want the poor people taking peah and then all of a sudden having to, you have to take some of that. Right, and give it to the Kohen, the Levi, right? That's, first of all, not cool. And second of all, that's not the chiyuv. Chumas and maestros, excuse me, is for stuff that you grow in your field. But for poor people, right, so who collect tzedakah, right, they don't have to give chumas and maestros on the tzedakah that they take. Well, vegetables are chayv and chumas and maestros, and they're not chayv and peah. So if you turn vegetables into peah, well, really, those vegetables are chayv and chumas and maestros. Now you can have poor people take the vegetables just like they take peah, and they're not going to separate chumas and maestros. Well, now, if you consume tevel that's not that you haven't taken off chumas or maestros, then you're dealing with chiyuv misa v'dishamayim. That's obviously not so good. So, all right, just explain that last one. But either way, the Gemara will get to each one. Okay, now Tana Rabbanan. Now we mentioned these six things that the Anshei Yericho did. The Chachamim had various levels of approval. We mentioned something else as well. If you look at the Masoreis HaShas, by the way, on the side, it says that all of these are actually listed in the Mishnah, in the Mishnah in Brachos. Okay, either way, Tana Rabbanan with the Rabbeisa, or at least the Mishnah that we just quoted. Shisha Dvarim Asa Chizkiyahu Amelech Al Shlosha Hodulo Val Shlosha Lo Hodulo. There are six things that Chizkiyahu Amelech did. Chizkiyahu was a big tzaddik, was a king. He took over after his father Achaz, who was a big Rasha. He had the job of repairing spirituality in Am Yisrael. So he did six things. He also had to contend with Sanchiriv, who came to try and conquer the right, the Assyrians, A-S-S, Syrians, right? Not the Syrians, but the Assyrians, and that tried to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Right? He had all that going on in his life. Either way, he did six things that the Chachamim were not. Some were happy, some were not happy. For the three things that they were happy with, so Girer Atzamos Shel Aviv Almita Shel Chavalim, he dragged the bones, or the dead body, rather. Not necessarily bones, but maybe it was bones. But it was somebody who dragged his father's dead body on a bed of ropes, i.e. not on a nice bed, and dragged it on the floor to show that, you know, he did not approve of his Russia actions. V'hodulo, and they were happy with that. Kite nachash hanachoshes, he ground up the copper snake. If you remember, towards the end of parsha of Sefer Bamidbar, what parsha? Chukas, something like that. Moshe has, right, the people started saying Lashon Hara, etc., and the snakes come and bite them, and Moshe makes his big copper snake, and the Pasuk says, Yakol habit al nachash anachoshes v'chai, everybody who looks at the copper snake will live. And obviously, it's not talking about the copper snake, it talks about looking, if they were on the floor, right, because of their injuries and their illnesses, and they looked up at the copper snake, which was higher, they would look higher than that, right, they look at Shemayim, they remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who really heals people. But Lamaisa, right, people apparently, as Rashi says, the Vishayu Tolim Acharav, people later would attribute healing powers to this snake. So Chizkiyahu got rid of it. And similarly, Gatna Sefer Refuos, the Hodilo. There's also the same thing. There was a book of Refuos. Machlok is what exactly this was, but was it a regular Machlok between Rashi and the other Rishonim, Rashi over here, if you just want to check it out, right? He says, "V'atope nechad sisi v'amayna be'brachos are gonna sefer refuos." Why the fishalo haya libam nichna ala cholim elements rapim miyad? Because apparently this was a book of special healings or cures that people would be cured immediately, and they wouldn't realize that Akash Baruch Hu is really the one who's doing the cures, right? It wasn't doing the healing. So again, the same idea as the copper snake, right? And so he got rid of it because people were forgetting to bring Akash Baruch Hu into the equation. What about the other ones? So basically, when Sanherib levied attacks on the Jews, he basically invaded them, couldn't conquer them, and then forced them to pay him to leave the siege of Yerushalayim, which is a lousy move. But anyway, he asked them. So basically, what Chizkiyahu did is that he took the gold from the doors on the Beis Hamikdash. And kind of send it to him as a not a tax, but as a, you know, to pay for it, to encourage him to leave the country. So Chachamim were not happy with this, right? They thought that he should have bitachon in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Sosa me'agichon ha'elyon v'lo hodulo. Similarly, when Sancheriv and the Assyrians were laying siege to Shalayim, so he didn't want them to have water, so he stopped up the upper rivers, the upper Gichon rivers. So they wouldn't have water for their siege. Again, he should have had more bitachon Kosh Baruch Hu, right below. And also, Iber Nisan Benisan below Hodilo. And also, he made an Iber Yor, and he extended, right, he made a leap year for Nisan, in Nisan, and that's what we don't do. As if, back in the day, right, before they had the calendar, so they used to have to cheshbon out when to make a leap year, right? Why would you make a leap year? Because Pesach needs to be in the spring. That's what Pesach says, right? Chag Ha'aviv. So if it's too cold, right, there's various levels, right? There's a way to calculate it. The Gemara talks about the way to calculate it, but if it was too cold, Lamaisa, so they pushed Pesach off a month. So Chizkiyahu pushed it off too late, meaning the Gemara delineates that you're only allowed to do that while it's still other. Dafke, it wasn't because of, just to clarify, in this scenario specifically, it wasn't because of the weather, it was because people were tamei, right? If you look at Chizkiyahu, right, he was trying to make people tahor from so many years under Ahaz's rule. So a lot of people were tamei, and he wanted to extend it so that people would be able to make the Korban Pesach. So that's why Chizkiyahu extended Nisan in Nisan, and that already was too late. I think that the Gemara elsewhere discusses how it was the 30th of Nisan. He wasn't sure, right? It could have been the 30th of Adar. Maybe I'm not sure exactly. I forget exactly the details. But Lamaisa, he extended it too late, and that the Chachamim were not happy with. Okay, Markivin de Kol and Kol Yomir. They were allowed to graft these. What's it called? These palm trees all day on Erev Pesach, right? And they didn't approve, but they didn't necessarily stop them. So Gemara here gives a recipe here if you ever want to graft this stuff. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Hechi Avdi, what would they do? So Amar Rav Yehuda, they said, Maisi Asadara, they would bring a myrtle branch, b'shichur de dafna, and juice from a tree called a laurel tree. All right, v'kimcha de sori, and barley flour. Derami b'mana v'lo chalfi alea arban yomin, that had been less than 40 days old since they, I guess, processed it. U'martchilu, and you boil it all together. V'shadu l'dikla b'libe. And then you kind of put it into the dekel tree and into the palm tree, right? You inject it almost, right, into its heart, meaning, I guess, into the trunk. And if any other trees that are within Dalan Amos, if you don't put this concoction in that tree as well, so they will die right away, because, you know, the tree is going to, I guess it's a tree on steroids, and they would, I guess, needed more nourishment or whatever, right? It would suck the life of all the trees around it unless it was doing the same thing. They would kind of graft the branches one into the other. Okay, either way, meaning, just to clarify, a person is not allowed to graft one tree onto the other, but when you lose the same trees, so that's fine. I mean, that is actually mutter. So again, the idea was, the idea that the Chacham were not happy with this, right, because they did it after Chatzos, and as opposed to only up until Chatzos. Okay, v'korchen es hashma, well, what does that mean? Hechi avdi, what would they say? So Rav Yehuda, omrim shma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, v'lo mafsikin. They would say Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and they would go straight into ve'ahavta, meaning they wouldn't dwell on the Echad. And that, what it means, like they would wrap Shema Yisrael, with the word Echad, with the two psukim on either side, they wouldn't pause long enough, to kind of focus on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Yachid and Miuchad. Rava Amar, Rava says, no, Mafsikin Hayu. No, they would stop there, Echad. Elosh Hayu Omrim Hayom Al Levavecha. Right, they would pause at a weird point in the following pasuk, right? Vayu Adverim Ma'ela Asher Nochim Tzavecha Hayom Al Levavecha. So depending on where you pause, that has two different connotations. Right? Let the things that I command to you, what I command to you, right? If you pause there and then you say Hayom al levavecha, right? So that implies that demashma, if you just continue in the Gemara, demashma Hayom al levavecha, v'lo machar al levavecha. If you pause before the word Hayom, right? Hayom. No, so that's the way we say it. That's the proper way to say it. Vayu hadverim ha'ela asher anochim etzavecha. Right, let these things that I command you, Hayom alavavecha, should be today on your heart, implying that only today, i.e. the day Hashem spoke to them, right, only that was the day that we had to keep the mitzvos. Right? That's obviously erroneous. The way we say it is, Vayu adrim ha'el asher nochim mitzvcha hayom alavavecha. Let all these things that I command to you today be on your hearts. Right? And that's the way, that's the proper way to say it. So they messed up, they paused in the wrong place, and that changed the meaning, changed the understanding of the word. Very often, almost 99% of the time, when a person makes a mistake in pausing and laning in the trup, so it's not correctable. Meaning, we only correct things that change the meaning of the word or the phrase. So 99% of the time, if for whatever reason the guy pauses, a little bit at a different spot, as opposed to where the trup indicates the person should pause, so you don't stop him. But here's one of the examples. If you would pause and then you say Hayom alavavecha, so you would go back. You would stop him. All right, either way, there's a couple other examples of that, but not for now. Viter. Tana Rabbana with the Braisa. Ketel hayu korchen es hashma. What is this korchen the Braisa says? What is this doing with, what is this shma thing? So Omrim, they would say, Shma Yisrael, Hashem HaKad, V'lo Yem HaFsikin, Div Rabbi Meir. Right, again, the two opinions that we saw. Right, Rabbi Meir says they wouldn't stop after Echad, to kind of focus on Hashem's uniqueness. Rabbi Yehuda, Omrim HaFsikin hayu, Ela Shalom Yomrim, Baruch Shem Kvom Malchus Olam Voed. This is different. Right, they would stop after Echad, but they wouldn't say Baruch Shem. The on in my time on Rinan Lay. So why don't we say Baruch Shem? What is that? So Kiddar Shem Rishim Ben Lakish. Kiddar Rishim Ben Lakish. Vayikra Yaakov Vel Banav. Vayomer Heasu. Vayagidu Lechem. Yaakov Avinu. Right. Parshas Vayichi. Yaakov Avinu wanted to tell his children. Right. Oh, the Gemara says. Bikish Yaakov Legalos Lebanav Kate Hayamin. Right. Yaakov wanted to tell his kids about the end of days. Vinistalka him in a shechina. The shechina left him. Amar Shemachas v'shalom yesh b'mita si psul ka Avram sheyotzu v'menu Yishmael. Yaakov thought, maybe I have one of my kids is not such a tzaddik, just like Avram had Yishmael. Yitzchak, she gets from Menu Esav. What about Yitzchak who had Esav? Maybe the same thing with me. I have somebody who's not right on the derech. So I'm below Barnum. So all of his children said, Shema Yisrael, Shema Ken, Shema Echad, and Amru. And they said, Kishem She'ein B'li B'choy Ele Echad, Kach Ein B'li B'enu Ele Echad. Just like they said, no, Abba, just like you have a Kosh Baruch Hu, right, is one in your heart, so too in our heart. So Ba'osa Shah, Pazach Yaakov, Avinu, Ve'amar, at that moment, Yaakov Avinu said, Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuzo, Le'olam Vo'et. So that's where we get it from. But why do we say it quietly? So Amri Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say, Hechi Nevin, how are we going to do this, right? We have a Shema Yisrael, Shema Kan, Shema Chad, and then Baruch Shem. But the problem is, right, if Nemru, if we say it aloud like that, so Lo Amru Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Moshe Rabbeinu did not say that at all, right? Moshe didn't say that in the pasuk, right? Lo Nemru, but if we don't say it, so Amru Yaakov, so Yaakov said it. So what do we do? So Hitkinu Sheyehi Omrim Oso V'Chashai. So they said, okay, fine, we're going to say it quietly. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak says, Amr Debei Rabbi Ami, Mashal Abbas Melech Shei Richa Tziki Kideira. The mashal is for a princess who smells a delicious dish. Let's say the pot is cooking downstairs, the stew, the chillens, whatever it is, she's got a big taiva for it. In Tomer Yeshla, if she says, I have a really strong taiva for this, so Gnai, it's not so appropriate for a princess to talk like that. So Lo Samra, if she doesn't say anything, so Yeshla Tsar, then she's going to be in pain because she doesn't get any chillens. So it's Chilu Avdei Lahavi Bechashai. So her servants gave it to her, right? Snuck up a bowl, right? Friday night. The servant snuck her up a bowl Friday night so she could be appeased and she wouldn't have to kind of be like, I need a jolt, oh my gosh. Not appropriate necessarily to talk like that. Amar Rabbi Yavo. Rabbi Yavo says, it's Kinu Shehu Omrim Osoba Kolram, Mepinitarum is Haminim. Right? Actually, after the Minim, right? After the people, the Kutim, or the, I guess the heretics used to say, well, if you're saying it quietly, it sounds like you're saying you're davening to another god, or you're saying some sort of weird tefillah that's secret or whatever. So they start saying it out loud. Right? Naharda, but in Naharda, the Lekha Minim, where there are no heretics, Sadhashta, Amri, La, Bechashai, there, they would still say it quietly. And again, Mistama, that's our Minag, because, you know, I guess Mistama and Shul, right? We don't usually assume that they're going to be heretics, right, in every younger Zerol or whatever it is, right? So we say it quietly, that's our Minag. Okay, fine. Back to Anshe Yericho. Tana Rabbanan will end in a Braisa. Shisha Dvarim Asu Anshe Yericho, Shlosha Baratzim Chachamim, Shlosha Shalo Baratzim Chachamim. Here, a little bit different language. Here, the people in Yericho did three that the Chachamim were fine with, and three that the Chachamim were not fine with. Ve'elu Baratzim Chachamim, these are the ones that the Chachamim were okay with. Makivin Dekalim Kalayom. Right? They were okay with them grafting. This price said they were okay with grafting them all day. V'korchen as a shema, and they would do this shema thing. V'kotrin lefnei haomer, and they would also reap before the korban omer. V'elu shelo beratzim chachamim. These are the ones that the chachamim were not so okay with. Gochin lefnei omer. They would pile it up before the korban omer. Meaning they would reap. They would do the reaping and they would pile it up. The reaping they were fine with. The piling they were not so fine with. Uportzin pirzos beganos sehem. We were part of Seyam Lahachal Nesher La'aniyim. And they would, this is again a little bit different language than the Mishnah. They would make holes in the fence of their orchards and their fields to give fallen produce to the poor people, Bishani Betzores, in the years of famine, when it was when food was scarce. Again, we'll see why that was a problem. It seems like a nice thing to do. B'Shabbos, V'Yom Tovim. On Shabbos and Yontif. Sorry, I mean, that's when they would do it. Not that they would cut the things, but they would feed the poor people on Shabbos and Yontif. U'Matirin Gamzios Shel Hekdesh Shel Chru V'Shel Shikma. And they would allow themselves to use these branches of Hekdesh trees, specifically of carob trees and Shikma. I think it's sycamore trees. All right, I'm not sure what grows on a sycamore tree, but right, either way, carob trees and sycamore trees. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir says that's what they were doing. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said back to them, "In Baratzim Chachamim Hayosim, Yehi Kol Adam Osim Kain." Well, if the first three things are what the Chachamim were okay with, so why doesn't everybody do that? Right? You tell me you can do Malacha all day in Erev Pesach. You can pause inappropriately in Kriyat Shema. You can do Ketzir. You can reap before the Korban Omer. The Gemara has a drasha. You shouldn't reap the grain before the Korban Omer. The pasuk says, where's that pasuk? That pasuk is that a person, I don't think it's, I'm just looking at Rashi for 2 seconds. Meaning, if I'm not mistaken, the pasuk says, Reshis Ktirchem Something like that. Rishis Ketzir Chema Lakohen. You have to bring the first reaping as the Korban Omer. Ah, nachon. Meaning the reaping of the Korban Omer. Ah, that's a pshat. Ah, I'm flashing back to it. The Korban Omer is also, you're not allowed to reap. Because the Pasuk says that the Korban Omer should be Rishis Ketzir Chema. It should be the first reaping. But that only applies to things that are shayach for the Korban Omer. Meaning, you would take the Korban Omer, as we pointed out, not from the valleys, not from the mountains, but from the plains, because that's where the best wheat is grown. So Yericho is in the plain, right? If you've ever driven down to Yericho, right? Driven past Yericho, so there are a lot of palm trees, first of all, so it's very shayach, you're talking about grafting palm trees. And it's also in a valley between, right? Between the, if you see the mountains towering on the side, right? The drive down is like, windy through the mountains to the Dead Sea. So basically they wouldn't take the Korban Omer from there, so the reaping Isser doesn't necessarily apply to that grain. So, but Lamaisa, there's still an Isser. So Rabbi Huda is saying, the Isser exists, meaning the concept exists. So why did Rabbi Huda say it was a problem? All right, let's go weiter. I'm blanking a little bit. But let's see. Amar lo Rabbi Huda, im ratzon chacham hayu osim yehi kol adam osim kein. So, meaning, why doesn't everybody do this? Ela, elu ve'elu shelo baratzon chachamim hayu osim. Right? They were really, all of them, the chachamim were upset about. Al shlosha michu biyadam, al shlosha lo michu biyadam. Three they protested, and three they didn't. Ve'elu shelo michu biyadam, the ones that didn't protest straight up, right, are Markivin as the Kalim Kalyam, Korchan as Hashma, Kotan Vagodishin, Lefnea Omer. The Elu Shemichu Biyadam, the ones that did protest, was Matir and Gamzir Shal Hekdesh, right, the ones that took the branches of Hekdesh, Shachruv El Shikma, reports and Prutos Begadon Seim, and Pardeseim, and Echon Nesh, Elani, and Shabbos of Yom Tovim, right, feeding the poor people from fruit that fell on Shabbos Yadav, and Beshari Bitzores, in the years of famine, and Nosn Pele Erek, and as we said in the Mishnah, making Peah out of vegetables. Michu Biyadam Chachamim. And the Chachamim, right, protested. So we're going to analyze all of these things, but first of all, before we get there, are you telling me that Rabbi Yehuda holds? Now I get it. Now I understand why the Ketzira is not a problem, because it's not a problem. Right, you'll see in a second. V'savar Rabbi Yehuda, Ketzira shalom baratzon chachamim mi, does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that the reaping that the Anshei Yericho were doing was not a problem? V'atzna'an, we learned in a Mishnah, Anshei Yericho quotes from the Fnei Omer baratzon chachamim, they would reap the Omer with the ratzon of the chachamim. They would do the reaping that would find before the Korban Omer. V'gochin lefnei ha'omer shelo baratzon chachamim, and they would pile up the grain, but that the chachamim were not happy with. V'lo michu b'yadam chachamim, the chachamim were not okay with it. So this brisa seems to imply that the reaping was totally fine. So man shmas lei the amar michu v'lo michu, and who's the one who says, right, that the chachamim weren't happy with all of these things, right? Some they protested, some they didn't. That's Rabbi Yehuda. The Katani Kotzer Baratzon Chachamim. And right, again, it's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. And the reaping, they said it was okay. But according to that, if you tell me that it was okay, so Hani Arba Havu. So then there was really four. Right? It was not actually three. Right? If you're telling me that, again, Rabbi Yehuda said three things they were not happy with, then it lists the grafting, right, the Kriya Shema thing, and the reaping, and the piling of the grain. So, Ela Sami Micha Mikan Katsira, so rather, no. Take out the Katsira, as the Katsira is fine. The reaping is fine, as I mentioned before. That wasn't the reaping that was ushered to do before the Korban Omer, because they couldn't take the Korban Omer from the wheat of Yericho. And that was fine, and the piling was the problem. Now, the piling, because I'm not sure if the Gemara gets to it today, but the piling was a problem because they were concerned that people may come to eat it. Right? Once you're already handling the grain and then kind of starting the processing, so people might snack on it while they're in the middle. And that for sure is not mutter, right? Not allowed to eat from the chadash grain before the Korban Omer was brought. Okay, so let's take a stroll through some of these examples. Matir and Gamziros shall hekdesh shall chruv shall shikma. Right? Again, they would take these. They will allow themselves to use the branches of the tree that was hekdesh, right? The carob tree and the sycamore tree. So Amrucha Avusenu, they said to justify it that Avusenu, that our fathers lo yikdishu ela koros, right? Were only makdish the trunk of the tree. V'anu natir gamzios shel hekdesh v'shel chruv v'shel shikma. Meaning, and we're only using the branches. Right? They were makdish. Our fathers were makdish. The trunks. We're only using the branches that grew afterwards. And the machlokas is v'gidulan habayin lachar mikan askinan. Right? Their question is, whether something that grows after something was made hekdesh, is that included in the hekdesh? Right? A person is makdesh, a tree trunk. So what are about the branches that grow afterwards? Does that belong to hekdesh or not? They simply held that there's no me'ila, there's no isser of using hekdesh from something that grows after something was right consecrated, turned into hekdesh. For Rabbi Banan and Savri, the Chacham say no. The meila leka in chenami. There is no meila. They agree to that point, but isura mi'aika. But there still is a din to Rabbanan because again we're getting close to using hekdesh, and Chacham more nervous. A person that might come to do meila if they're using the branches, some might get confused, and they would use the trunk as well. Okay, what the ports and protos? They would make holes in the fence. To feed poor people during the famine, right? They let them eat the fruit that fell from the trees, right? From the stump of the date trees, from the palm trees. So what was the problem with that? The machlokes here between Anshei Yericho and the Chachamim is the mechabdos, is the in the top branches in of the trees, right? If you look at Rashi, he said Barosh HaDeko. And they were very high up, right near the fruit. Meaning, in the stomach, not in the bunches, but up in the top of the tree. They still fell out of the bunch, but it was still resting in the top of the tree. So the Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan were concerned because Gazuna and Shemi Yala Ve'yedlosh, right? Because that maybe people would go up and take from the actual bunches, and that's already taking from a live tree. That right, that's kotzer. That's aser midaraisa. But the people in Yericho, they held, they were concerned that just because the poor people were going to go through the holes and climb the tree and get the ones that had fallen down, they're not necessarily going to take from the ones that were still attached. But the dates that fell all the way to the bottom, right, to the bottom of the tree, the divrei kol mutter. According to Ula and Reish Lagish, everybody held that the dates at the bottom of the tree, you could take those, and there's no problem. No one's climbing trees just because they can take a couple of dates that fell to the bottom. Amalei Rava, Rava says, Vamuktus ninu. One second, they're mukta. Well, the ones that fell to the bottom are mukta, right? They're not prepared, right? If you tell Shabbos and Yontif, somebody's not prepared for eating on Shabbos and Yontif, right? That's a problem. Right, you're not allowed to take it, regardless if they're down on the bottom of the tree or not. Right, if you'll tell me, hold the chazir the orvin, that maybe the ravens can eat it, right, and therefore people can eat it. What in the world are ravens doing here? So, ironically enough, the people apparently used to keep ravens. Right, that was a thing. Right, apparently, that was like a cool thing to do. So apparently, right, again, they would, you know, you could tell me that they were prepared, they weren't mukta, because some people who had ravens, right, would go and eat them. So he, and Lamaisa, then assuming that that person would also be able to go eat them, so he would make them mukhan in his mind, right, so you know, that for the ravens to eat. So if you tell me that they're prepared for ravens, hashta mukhan la adam lo havi mukhan la klavim. Wait, one second. If someone was prepared for human food, it's not considered prepared for animals. For a club, just an example, but for animals, it's not like we learned in the Mishnah at the end of Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imlo Haisa Nevela Meir of Shabbos Asura Lefisha Ina Mina Muchan. If an animal did not die before Shabbos, meaning if it was still alive on Erev Shabbos, so then it's Mukta Lefisha Ina Mina Muchan. It's not prepared, right, for the animals to for the animals to eat, right? Rabbi Yehuda Shita is. A person needs to be muchan for that exact specific use. If you remember at the end of the Masechta Shabbos, and since the animal, right, it was not right, again, was able to be shechted, but it wasn't ready for dog use. Meaning, before Shabbos, when it started, the animal was alive, and then it died. Right, then only then did it become muchan for dogs to eat. So, and it's not prepared for dogs at all. So therefore, it's not shayach, right? We don't extend something that was mukhan for a person to eat to something that a dog is ready to eat. So mukhan la'orvin, havi mukhan la'adam. Right? Can you say that something that's prepared for ravens, meaning, again, in the case of these dates, right, we're not going to extend back to people. Basically, with all these examples, saying that you don't extend something that's prepared for animals to humans and vice versa. Meaning something that has to be prepared for one specific purpose, again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore we're not going to extend it back and forth. So if you just because, right, they're mukta, and if you'll tell me that ravens eat them and therefore people can eat them, no, that's not how it works. Right? That doesn't tell me that all of a sudden it becomes mukta. So Ula said back to Rava, in, no, actually, It is true. Muchan adam lavim, muchan klavim, right? It's something that's food for humans, it's not food for dogs. To call me the chazi linish lo makzei lei midaite, because anything that's fit for a person is not going to make it muktzah, meaning anything that you're able to eat in your pantry, you're going to think is usable on Shabbos. You're not going to have that. That's not muktzah. But muchan la'orvim, I mean muchan la'adam. But the opposite is true. Meaning, we're not going to extend human food for animal food, but we will flip back anything that's prepared for animals to be eaten for humans. Because called me the chazil inish daite ilave. Anything that a person can theoretically eat, right? A person has his mind on. Meaning, so therefore, that even if a person is going to feed the ravens dates, right? The person could also theoretically think about eating those dates as well. So therefore, in his mind, they're not going to be muktzah. Okay, we're going to stop here just because. There's a little bit further. Let's get the two dots right because tomorrow's a short daf as we finish the first part of Psachim. As you'll see, it's an interesting kind of break. Not all Masechtas have this like end of first part of Masechta kind of tagline over there. All right. Anyway, let's just finish. Kiyasar Avin. When Ravin showed up in Bavel from Eretz Yisrael, so Amar Rishim and Lakish Machlokus b'shel bein akipin. He said no. He said a different version of the Machlokus. Right? We said before the Machlokus is if the dates are on top, but if they're on bottom, everybody agrees that they're mutter. Right? And then we had all back and forth. Why aren't they muktzah? Okay, because the ravens can eat them, and therefore that's extended to people as well. So Kiyasa Ravin Amar Rishim and Lakish Machlokus b'shel kipin. No, the Machlokus is the dates that fall to the bottom of the tree. Because the Chachamim held no. If it's prepared for animal food, that's not necessarily prepared for people to eat, and therefore it's still muktzah. And the people in Yericho felt no. If it's prepared for animals, for the ravens, so it's also prepared for people, and they can eat it as well. But the ones in the top of the tree, no. Then divrei kol aser gzeirah gazrinan shema yala v'yedlosh. According to this understanding, everybody holds that the dates at the top of the tree are usher because if the dates fall off a couple centimeters and they're lying on the branches, right? That's right next to the clusters. You climb up to the top. It could be that if you take a fallen date, it's very likely that you will take a date that is still attached, and that will be usher midaraisa. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll go weiter in the Hilig Shas tomorrow. Like I said, tomorrow we have zchus to finish the first part of Maseches Psachim. We'll talk a little bit about that. Have a great Shavuot Tov, a good Devach, a good Chodesh, and a great Day or Night, depending on where you're listening to this.